The tale is told of a session meeting at a small church one evening. There were three elders sitting around the table with the pastor. The pastor had received a vision from God and was explaining it to the elders, saying they should initiate the vision in the church. When they took a vote, the tally was three elders against and one pastor for. One elder spoke up and said, "Well, the vote is 3-1. You are outvoted, pastor, and it is late. So let's close in prayer." The pastor, not wanting to give up that easily, prayed that the Lord would somehow show the elders that it was not his vision that he fought for, but rather the Lord's vision. At that moment, a lightning bolt came through the window, splitting the table in half and throwing all three elders to the floor. After they all got up and collected themselves, the elder said, "Well, pastor, the vote is now 3-2. You still lose." Today is Vision Sunday, the launch of our Realizing the Vision Capital campaign here at Christ Memorial, the second such campaign that we are endeavoring. Our first campaign was a wonderful experience. Not only did we raise far more money than most of us anticipated, we learned some things about ourselves. We came together around a common goal in a way that we had not for quite some time. We stepped out in faith and in trust. And in many ways, we are still riding the wave of momentum begun 3 years ago. Of course, much has happened since then, and at the same time, little has happened since then, at least to the building, unfortunately. But again, in these years, we have learned even more about ourselves and about our past, our present, and our future. We have certainly been challenged as our ministry expansion plan has hit quite a few speed bumps along the way. We have been frustrated, angered, and perhaps even scared. But that's the thing about visions, especially grand ones. Seeing them through to fruition does not always go the way that we think or we plan. It is rarely easy and straightforward, and yet the vision remains. At the very least, the spirit and heart of it, especially when it is God's vision. When we seek God's vision for ourselves, our church, our community, and our world, we can rest assured that it will be what is good and what is right for the people, whatever form it ultimately takes. You see, our God is a visionary God. We can see this throughout Scripture. Casting vision after vision for the people, for God's children, sending men and women to share the vision God has for God's people, like Jeremiah and John of Patmos, the author of Revelation. Jeremiah wrote, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." These words spoken to the Israelites in exile, desperate they were for a vision. Words that could comfort and inspire, reassuring the people that their God had not abandoned them, indeed even had plans to care for them, protect them, and provide abundantly for them. When the people despaired for what their future held, God had a vision, not just to save them, but for them to prosper and to give them a future with hope. And I, for one, believe God is still in that business of providing for God's people, of wanting them, us, to prosper and also have a future with hope. And I believe our ministry expansion plan is a very large part of that vision. And I know I'm not the only one in that belief, that many of you share that feeling as well. Because, you see, this plan is more than just a construction project for us, a long overdue overhaul of our facilities and grounds. It is part of a larger vision that God has cast and has shared with us, a significant stepping stone on the path toward even greater faithfulness, an increasingly important chapter in the life of this congregation. With a grateful nod to the past, to those who have gotten us this far, and a loving, longing gaze to the future, to those who will come after and carry on the important tradition and introduce new ways of being faithful. I rest assured in these hopes and dreams because I believe we have done our level best to ensure that we are following God's vision for our church, not simply our own. Of course, there is no guarantee that our dreams, goals, agendas have not intertwined. Indeed, we can safely assume that they have. But I trust that God's vision will prevail, and I think that you can as well. Of course, God's visions did not end with Jeremiah and the other Old Testament prophets. They continued on in and through Jesus Christ, through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, into and through the early days of the church when John of Patmos shared the vision that he received from God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." A new heaven and a new earth. He will dwell with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. See, I am making all things new. It is a beautiful vision for the future, for the great restoration of creation, for a time when God will dwell among us in a way we can't even begin to imagine now, a time when all things will be made new. This is the God we worship and serve and love, a God who visions restoration and joy and hope and newness. And the same God has a vision for us, for you, for me, for Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church. That vision is not limited to the ministry expansion plan, by no means. God's vision would never be that limited. But the vision is made possible through this plan. What God has in store for our worship, missions, fellowship, faith education, ministries of care, and all aspects of our life together depends heavily on this plan, on getting our house in order in a very literal sense. To see this significant part of the vision through to its completion already has required great commitment and great sacrifice, and it will require even more. The financial need is great, you know that. A very real challenge to this congregation. To make the dream of our ministry expansion plan a reality, each and every one of us will need to dig deep and commit ourselves to seeing it through, to supporting the efforts with our prayers, our energy, our time, and of course, our financial resources. And thus today, we embark on our Realizing the Vision capital campaign. As we have done before, we are asking each member of this family to faithfully discern a joyful, meaningful, and sacrificial gift to this campaign. We know that the giving capacity of each person and family is different, but the ability to give joyfully, meaningfully, and sacrificially is not, for we are all capable of that. As we saw 3 years ago, if we commit ourselves to these principles, we can achieve great things together. The challenge was great then, and we rose to it. The challenge is even greater now, and I have no doubt that we will rise again if we stay committed to the vision and to the principles. As I see it, this capital campaign will have three potential impacts to our life together. First, the more we raise during this campaign, the less interest we will pay on the loan that we must take. And the less interest we pay, the more monies we can direct to those ministries and programs for which we have true passion. It is encouraging to know that since we are working with the Presbyterian Investment and Loan Program, that the interest we will pay will at least go towards assisting other churches like ours, seeking to care for and expand their facilities. But of course, we would rather be able to direct those funds as we see fit, as we discern that God calls. Secondly, the more we raise in this campaign, the more we will have a choice in whether or not we will sell the adjacent properties. Wouldn't it be nice to have more control over whether we sell the plot of land to our north or any or all of the Brown property to our south? Our financial projections have taken for granted that we would sell part or all of those properties, but those projections have also included a rather conservative estimate for the outcome of this campaign. If we exceed the projections for this campaign, then we can make the sale of property more a choice and less a necessity. We can have more control over that decision. Thirdly, the more we raise in this campaign, the less of an impact on our annual operating budget in the years ahead. One of the biggest reasons we have undertaken this ministry expansion plan is to take care of the building in such a way that it does not burden or handicap future generations. It is why so much of this plan is devoted to deferred maintenance and code issues. It is why we started with removing the asbestos from this building. We will have a mortgage. There will be an impact to our annual operating budget, and that is not inherently bad. But it serves us well to rise to this challenge now, so that the impact to the annual operating budget is manageable and not a burden to us or to those who come after. Because again, the less of an impact to the budget, the more we can direct funds to other ministries, programs, new initiatives, or even new staff. Of course, it makes little sense to trade significant facility burdens for significant financial ones. So each dollar pledged to this campaign helps to alleviate that burden. I believe those are important and compelling reasons to give generously to our Realizing the Vision campaign. And I hope that at least one of them resonates with you. But ultimately, those reasons take a back seat to the most important reason, to consider a joyful, meaningful, and sacrificial gift to this campaign. It's a reason that is right there in the title. That reason being that we believe that what we are seeking to do is realizing God's vision for our church. If we believe and trust that this is what God desires, that God is behind all of this, then what better reason to join in, to sign on, to give generously? If we truly believe that all that we have is but a gift from God, then how willingly and joyfully should we give to that which God desires for God's people? I believe God has plans for us as well. Plans for welfare and not for harm. Plans for a future with hope. And I believe that God will usher in the new, will dwell with us, will wipe the tears from our eyes, and will make all things new. And I believe that the future that we are working towards, immediate and long term, to which we are being asked to recommit ourselves, is the vision that God has for our church. And I sincerely pray that you feel the same way, and that you commit to discerning a joyful, meaningful, and sacrificial gift to this campaign. We have already seen the kind of impact that can have on each one of us and on all of us. So let's do it again. Let's realize the vision together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.